reading to you from the third chapter of the book of Acts and with the 19th verse. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 46 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God surprised me and called me to preach. Well, I've tried to do a good job. I know I've failed the Lord many, many times, as has most of us Christians. But I'll tell you for sure, the older I get, the more I enjoy telling people about Christ. Well, He changed my life. He's changed millions of people's lives over the years. And maybe tonight you're going to be one of those people who say, you know, Cecil, I've been listening for a long time, but you know what? Tonight I feel I need to give my heart to Christ. Well, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or maybe a lemonade, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, precious Lord, for the wonderful things that's taking place in America today. People are getting their lives together. People are coming to Christ. Our churches are getting filled up because people are afraid. But Lord, if they'd put their trust in Jesus, they won't have to be afraid no more. Oh, precious Lord, I pray for our country. I pray for our president, his staff, and all of our leaders. I pray for our servicemen and women throughout the world. God be with them. And I pray, Lord, that many of them will come to Christ, because that's the most important decision they'll ever make. Lord, you know the physical, financial, spiritual needs of our listening family. You know the financial needs of this broadcast. And I pray, Lord, that you'll take care of them and help us with it. We have so much to do, and I just pray you'll help us with it. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll honor your word, lift up Jesus, hide me behind the cross, save that man or woman who are confused tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 10th chapter of Luke. And let's begin reading with the 30th verse. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and we saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I truly love this story because it shows what compassion will lead a man to do. This road that this man was attacked on was called the Way of Blood. Nobody in their right mind would take that 20-mile trip unless they had someone with them. This guy felt he could do it on his own. Now, you can be brave and still be stupid. This man possessed both bravery and stupidity. Well, sure enough, he got attacked. They left him for dead. Now, The first man along after Tack was a religious man. He was a priest. Man being religious does not make you a Christian, nor does it mean that your heart, you have a heart of compassion. His religion did not lead him to go over and take a look at the injured man. It was a day's journey to where the priest was going, so I suppose he thought his religious meeting was more important than helping a man in need. In those days, if you touched a dead man, you were unclean for 7 days. However, I doubt if this entered into this religious man's mind. He just didn't care, period. Folks, listen, religion, I've said this a million times, religion is man-made and salvation is God-made. Just because a man is religious does not make him a Christian. How many people put religion above helping a man in need? This is certainly not the way the Bible reads. I'll never forget this church I was a member of. I've told you this before, but it is still bitterness in my gall. I received a phone call from the choir director, and he said, "Cecil, there's a drunk man here at this church sitting in the auditorium listening to us practice. Could you come and get rid of him?" I drove to the church, and sure enough, here was a man sitting in the middle of the auditorium. He was doing nothing but listening. I sat down beside him. I said, "How's things going?" He said, "Not too good. There's about 6 or 7 inches of snow on the ground." I said, "Do you have a place to stay tonight out of the storm?" "Oh," he said, "I'll find a dumpster to crash in." He said, "Those people sure can sing, can't they?" I said, "Come on, I'll find you a place to stay tonight." I had a young preacher boy with me, and we took this young man, this drunk guy, to a motel. It wasn't the Hilton, but it was a clean motel. I paid his room, and then we took him to his room. I pulled back the cover and said, "Now, you go in and take a hot shower and get into bed." And he said, "Mister, you're a nice person." "No," I said, "I'm a Christian." The three of us knelt by the bed, and I prayed for this man. This choir and their director thought that singing was more important than helping a man in need. This is just exactly what the priest thought. What a shame. Then a Levite, who was another religious man, passed by on the side. Also, he was too busy with his own life. He had no time for the wounded man. How many put their church and its ceremony and ritual before the needs of a desperate person? You know, not so long ago, I introduced a lady to Christ on the East Coast via the phone. I called a large state, a church in that state, and talked to a counselor who works with alcoholic women. She said she'd go and see this lady and help her. I also called one of the pastors of this large church and told him about this young lady. He assured me that he would go administer to her. That's been over a month ago. She's never heard from neither one of them. These people remind me of these religious men who passed by the wounded man. When I was taking my heart treatments down in Colorado Springs last year, I used to stop at a seafood restaurant on the way home and get me a salad and a cup of soup. There was a waitress who waited on me every time I went in there, and I started telling her about Jesus. I gave her my book, I gave her a Bible and some gospel tracts. Finally, I told her to go home and open this little Gideon Bible and read the last page. It tells you how to pray the sinner's prayer, and it says if you sign this thing, that you should sign it and date it the day you accepted Christ. The next time I stopped, she came over to my table with a big smile on her face, and she reached down and hugged me. I don't know what the other people thought. She said, "Cecil, I did it." Now remember, she prayed to receive Christ. She was a member of a Mormon church. I called a pastor of a church who lived about 6 blocks from this young lady's house. I told the pastor the story, and I asked him if he would go and minister to her and invite her to his church. And he promised that he would. Friends, I called this pastor 3 times, but he never did. God be merciful to that young man who calls himself a reverend. He, too, would have passed on the other side. James 4:17. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him that is sin." Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Folks, Christianity is more than going to church and saying, Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I hear this all the time. It's lip service. I don't catch these great leaders. Even Jesse Jackson. I don't catch him going down into rescue missions or in prison. But he stands up and makes out that he's one of those guys. Friends, I tell you, I get sick. Now listen, I'm not perfect and I can't cast the first stone. Believe me, I'm not perfect. But I'll tell you, if you are a Christian, you ought to walk your talk. Micah 6:8. He hath showed me, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with thy Lord. Well, the Levite was touched with enough feeling to walk over and look at him, but he shrank from helping. Perhaps he feared being identified with the robbers. Perhaps he feared the robbers might still be lurking behind the shadows. And perhaps he felt that meddling with a poor soul would just be too much bother to undergo. I don't know. I really don't know. But I read in James 2nd chapter, 14th verse, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye have not given them those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Another strange thing about this story, the injured man was a Jew, and the Jews hated the Samaritans, but the Samaritans placed compassion before everything, prejudice, opinion, work, time, energy, and money. Friends, I've said this since I learned that giving is a part of worship. You show me a tight-fisted Christian, and I'll show you a person who is not walking with the Lord. He can be born again. You know, the Bible speaks about those that are saved by fire. Well, that's what some of these people are. The Good Samaritan gave up his work, his time, and his energy to help the man. Note what he did. Each step is significant in showing how we are to love our neighbors. He went to him, went forth, reached personally to help. He bound up his wounds, eased his pain. He poured oil and wine into his wounds, gave of his goods. He set him on his own beast, sacrificed his own comfort. He provided room for him, and he provided his basic needs. He took care of him, nursed him, looked after him personally. Now listen, the Samaritan was willing to put his money where his mouth was. The Good Samaritan gave 2 denarii for this keep. That's about 24 to 48 days of room and board. And even said he, when he returned, if there's any more expense, he'd pay for it. See, the Good Samaritan saw a desperate need and did all that he could to help. Oh, friends, I'm afraid that we as Christians have not really begun to understand what Christianity is about. Romans 12:20, Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Acts 20:35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than receive. Galatians 6:2, Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 13:3, Remember them that are in bonds, and bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. Years ago, I took my lay team to a church in Colorado, up in the mountains. We ministered there, led many people to Christ. Later, I went and showed my film Against All Hope. One day, I received a phone call from this pastor asking me to go visit a lost man who was dying of cancer. I went to his bedside and introduced this dying man to Christ. He then took a church here in Denver. I visited him one day, and he asked me what I was doing, and I told him I had a prison ministries to 11 prisons in Colorado. I also told him about my New Grace Quartet. He said, maybe you and your quartet would come and you'd preach and then they could sing. I said, that would be neat. He said, do they all belong to our denomination? And I said, no. He said, unless they are all of our denomination, I don't want them to come. Needless to say, I wouldn't have preached in his church if it was the last church in the world. Another man like the priest and the Levi. One more sad story about a church and a preacher who would not help an alcoholic man and a woman I was working for. I called the pastor, and I said to him, this man was in prison. He tried to kill his wife. I got this man released to me by the district attorney. I said, could the church give us a little money so we could get some food and get in a little apartment for him? And he said, we do not help that kind of people. And it just like an arrow through my heart. What kind of people? You mean alcoholics are not real people? You shouldn't help them, or drug addicts? Well, my wife and I had $35. And I mean to tell you, $35 in those days was pretty good money. We went down and got some groceries and paid 1 week on a furnished apartment for them. Now look it, we took in the, first of all, I got to tell you this. This guy said, Cecil, I want to repay you for what you did for me and my wife. I said, do you want to pay for this? Yes. I said, all right, here's what you do. If you and your wife will be ready, we'll come by and pick you up and we'll take you to church with a Sunday. And the debt is paid. He said, you mean that is all I have to do? I said, that's all that you have to do. Well, so sure enough, they were ready to go. We took them to church. And the pastor, he preached a good sermon. And during the invitation, I turned to Bill. And I said, Bill, I too was an alcoholic just like you. But I said, when I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and come into my heart, he took away that alcoholism and changed my life. While I was talking with him, my wife was talking to his wife, and she was introducing his wife to Christ while I introduced Bill to Christ. Now, after the service, they both made their public profession of faith. Now, that afternoon, the pastor called and asked me to preach that night, because he knew I hadn't got a chance to preach. I was a young preacher. Well, I thought, what in the world am I going to preach on? Because, I hadn't preached much. And I found this scripture that says, he that closes ear to the cry of the poor shall pray, and their prayers will not be heard. Talk about silly. Well, that night people came after service with their billfolds out. They gave money for Bill and Jean and food. And at the next business meeting, the church voted to give 10% of their offerings monthly to the poor and the needy, which is still going on today. And that's been 40-some years ago. When I attended Bible College in Riverside, California, over 43 years ago, I had a lung tumor and was given up to die. We had no money, we had no insurance, and we had 6 kids. One day, Wednesday night, of course, couldn't go to church. I was bedridden. And there's a young teenage boy that I had befriended and kind of felt sorry for him. And he got up in church and he said, you know what? You people talk about how much you love Jesus, and you talk about this and that. Did you know we have a preacher boy over here that may not live with 5 kids and they have no food? That night, my dear friends, that night, that church filled up the back of a van with groceries. They brought money. One church that I, not even my denomination, this pastor had me come and preach to his youth about the curse of alcoholism. He found out that I was bedridden, and that church brought canned peaches, and they brought food to us. Oh, my dear friends, how God did supply our needs. Listen, all churches and all pastors are not like the priest and the Levi, but a lot of the men. Listen, friends, what would you have done in this situation? God help us to follow the teaching of Jesus. Yes, my friends, it is more blessed to give than receive. Now, this message was basically for the Christian. However, my friends, if you are unsaved and you do not know where you're going to spend eternity, there is an invitation for you to come to Jesus and find the sweetest peace inside of heaven. You say, well, Cecil, I don't know if I have to be saved to get to heaven. Well, Jesus said, he that cometh unto me I shall nowise cast out. And he also tells us that he died for you. He tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now tonight, listen to me, tonight, if you're sitting there by your radio and you feel a strange tugging at your heart, strange tugging at you, don't know what it's all about, it's God's Holy Spirit trying to get you to see that you need to come to him. Listen, your life may be a failure as of today. You may be have been unfaithful to your wife. You may have children who are drug addicts. You may be a homosexual. You may be a lesbian. You may be an alcoholic or a drug addict. But just remember, Christ died for good sinners as well as bad sinners. There's only two kinds of sinners in the world. There's a lost sinner and a saved sinner. Now, you know which one you are. But tonight, if you feel a real, real tugging at your heart, and you'd like to do something about it, here's a simple prayer, but it's a powerful prayer. And don't you dare pray it unless you mean it, because it's dangerous. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I pray that you'll come into my heart tonight and save me. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen. Dear friend, if you prayed that prayer, please get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. Listen, I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I will not use your name on the air. And dear friends, listen to me. Listen carefully. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what denomination you go to. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now, tonight, you have an opportunity. If you don't know how to be saved and you want to call me, 303-471-8534. I am interested in your soul. Please give me a ring.
Without him, I would.